After communion to share testimony, so I'll just go let you know we still want to do that, but we'll do that at the end of the service. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 39, our current study, as we are working our way through the life of Joseph. We've been in chapter 39 for a couple of weeks and want to head toward the end of that chapter today, but this is kind of the thesis we've been looking at, that Genesis 39 is a picture of what it looks like for someone to live and walk in trust in the Lord regardless of their circumstances, be they good, be they bad. And Joseph experienced both of those as we have been observing. And so whether he had success or whether he had setback, whether he had favor or whether he had unfairness, his mindset stayed the same. I will trust and entrust myself and my circumstances into the God of my fathers, the God who has made this covenant with my family. And so that is constantly in the background of this chapter, and that's what we've been working through. And it's exciting to see, particularly in the low times, how this trust in the Lord has enabled Joseph to rise above the junk and the mess that's come into his life. And we have said, that's what we want to be able to say about ourselves. So when disappointments and trials and injustices touch our lives, we want to rise above that as well. And so hopefully this chapter is pointing out some ways we can do that. So let me just quickly review where we've been, because we've been looking at these aspects of trust in his life. And so number one, we notice trusting God when betrayed, and what a test this was to Joseph, because it cost him greatly. Cost him greatly, as we have seen. Some of you know the taste of being betrayed. It can happen in different kinds of situations, a friendship, a marriage, some other way. I don't know how you responded when that happened in your life, but just so you know, if it's still hanging on to you, you still today can entrust the whole mess into the Lord's hands and ask Him to redeem it in your life, regardless of how unfair, unjust the betrayal happened to be. Secondly, we looked at trusting God when it's not easy going. Joseph had to trust the Lord daily to survive and to go forward. And so as he gave himself to the hard work and diligence that would be required, the new skills he had to learn, the new language he had to learn, he trusted God to enable him to do that so that he could become the best slave to the honor and glory of God. And he, in the end, became indispensable to Potiphar. And may we do the same in those places God has placed us to work. Thirdly, we looked at trusting God when blessing and achievement comes, and we recognize that in some ways it's harder to trust God in those times because we don't feel the urgency of the helplessness or the desperateness of the situation that has touched our lives. And so we can be a little bit more vulnerable to temptation when we've achieved something, we've got that promotion, we're on a high because we let our guard down. And therefore, we can be vulnerable. But success, as we've seen, we pointed out, didn't go to Joseph's head. He trusted God in the high times just as much in the low times. It didn't go to his head. He didn't become proud. He didn't boast about being a safe, self-made man, as we love to boast in America and the American dream. But it didn't change him, even when he had great achievement in his life. Last week, we looked at this one. God, and how so shall I now? This let us go and excuse not he cheats to his squad. This trans out. This is we'll look at today, and that is trusting God when my convictions cost me. So let's read this. Verses 19 through 23. Well, I won't go down through 23 yet, but just look. Joseph did the right thing, didn't he, with Potiphar's wife? He did the God pleasing thing. He did the righteous thing, and so the expectation would be God's going to bless that. I mean, that's the way so many Christians think today. You know, if we do what's right, that obedience should produce success or prosperity or blessing or an easy, comfortable life. I mean, that's what we kind of expect. And you look at Joseph, who made the right choice, the righteous choice, wasn't going to do this great sin against God, and yet he got hammered for it. He ends up in jail for it. His godliness didn't profit him. He didn't get a blessing from being godly. And so his example really slams against this success teaching we have in our culture today. Now listen. A lot of Christians don't buy into the health, wealth, and prosperity teaching. A lot of Christians don't. And yet, we are still prone, are we not? When something horrible happens, the question still comes up in our minds, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? I have been serving you faithfully. I've been an obedient servant to you. Why? You know, we still struggle with that. Even though we don't buy into health, wealth stuff, we still struggle with that. It still comes up in our minds because it just seems like it shouldn't happen if we're being faithful and trusting the Lord, right? And so I imagine Joseph struggled with that, battled with that too, because the enemy of God, I know what he's like, and I know he probably came to him with those kinds of questions. So let's just look at this. Start with verse 12. We'll pick it up after Joseph has left. He's run out of the house, not just into another room. He got out of the house. So verse 12. Potiphar's wife caught him by the garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until her master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." You've probably heard the famous line, "Hell has no fury like what? A woman scorned." And so here we have Mrs. Potiphar. Now her lust has turned to rage, and she is going to get back at Joseph. But I would like to make a suggestion to us. I think maybe there probably was a little bit more in here than just her being upset with Joseph's rejection of her. It's also quite possible, I cannot prove it, may be wrong when I get to heaven, but it's also quite possible that in light of Joseph's response of, "How can I do this great evil?" That means what you're asking me to do is a great evil, Mrs. Potiphar, and sin against my God. I just wonder if she didn't have the thought, "Who is this Hebrew slave? He must think he's better than I am. He must think he's above me, calling this a great evil, something that's acceptable, accepted in our culture." You know, if you live and if you respond godly, don't be surprised that the people around you don't have the same mindset as Mrs. Potiphar. Right? People don't always appreciate godly attitudes and godly actions. They take offense at it. And one reason why is because it exposes their ungodly character. They take offense at it. And in response, they will frequently pull out the common slogan, phrase, "You're judging me," which, by the way, they're judging you by saying that. But the bottom line is, you don't always win popularity contest by godly attitudes and godly actions. You don't always get applauded for godliness. And Joseph's a prime example. Thus, the point we are considering. You need to continue to trust the Lord, because godly convictions many times will cost you. So, Mrs. Potiphar comes, she lies, she makes this false accusation against Joseph, And then I don't know if you picked up, she went even further and brought in the racial component here. Look at verse 14. She does it twice. See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us. And says the same thing again in verse 17 to her husband, the Hebrew slave whom you brought to us. Those that are in Sunday school, we referenced this already, but if you don't know, the Egyptians really looked down on the Hebrews. Later on in chapter 43, when Joseph is in the contact with his brothers and they have a meal together, we read this verse, chapter 43, verse 32. And so they served Joseph by himself, and then Joseph's brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. And then later on in chapter 46, it talks about that the Egyptians also looked down on the Israelites because that's where they viewed shepherds. They had a very disparaging view of people who were shepherds. And so she falsely accuses Joseph. She brings in the race card. And then did you see in verse 14 and 17? Basically, she blames her husband too, doesn't it? This Hebrew slave you brought to us. And so you're starting to get the picture. Everybody's wrong here except who? Mrs. Potiphar. That sound familiar? All right, yes. But does it ever describe sometimes our responses? You know, that person or everybody or everything is wrong except me. We can see it with Mrs. Potiphar. We don't want to sometimes recognize that sometimes maybe we do the same kind of thing, blame it on everybody else except ourselves. Now, please don't miss that in everything we have seen and will continue to see in the life of Joseph, in the unfair things, in the unjust things, to the more positive things. Please don't miss this. And that is, Joseph always had a choice. There we go. Joseph always had a choice in how he was going to respond, whether the situation was a negative one, whether it was a good one. But he always had a choice how he was going to respond. And so do we. And whatever stuff we're dealing with, good, bad, we have the same choice. How we're going to respond. All right, look at verse 19 and 20. Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. Now, I don't know if you realize that there's been a lot of speculation through the years of whether Potiphar really believed the charge his wife made, and you can argue it both ways, although if he did fully believe her, it seems odd that he didn't have Joseph executed. But you can argue it both ways. But the bottom line is this: Joseph removed from his high position in Potiphar's house, and now he's put into jail. And so what an incredibly devastating blow that was to him. I mean, so far in his journey, if we could say it this way, he's gone from riches to rags, to riches again, being head of Potiphar's house, now to rags again, and he's going to have some more ups and downs before we finish this story. And so he's got a lot of riches, a lot of rags, a lot of riches, a lot of rags in his storyline. And what made this imprisonment probably so much more painful for him was you realize that it is the precise opposite of what he should have expected to have received. I mean, here's a man taking a stance: I'm not going to violate your wife. I'm not going to violate the trust you've put in me. And so he should expect Potiphar to reward him for that instead of casting him into jail. And I would just suggest to us, sometimes the pain that comes from injustice and unfairness that's committed against us sometimes is more painful to bear than physical pain. Sometimes it's harder to bear that pain than physical pain that we might experience. So yeah, I mean, Potiphar didn't execute him, but he was in jail, and it wasn't an American jail. Our text doesn't describe the conditions, but there is one verse that speaks to this in Psalm 105, and it says this about Joseph's conditions. Okay, this thing's not working again. He was in the cup, kind of least too. He did because himself before he was in the winning field, but the place he appeared, he got judge a bar to be looking for trust work. There is you know why this. He still out in right act. Those nose prince first was in had of me slate. Yeah, he said this was me slate. I'll see if I determined his attitude and the course he would take while he was in that jail. That choice, get thee behind me, though he slay me, I'll still trust in him, determine the kind of attitude he was going to have and his demeanor and the course he was going to take in the midst of that prison. It's the same thing for us. The choice we make affects our attitude and how we're going to respond in what that thing is that we're facing. Our choice does. There's a little book. Years ago, when I was still in Columbian Youth Ministry, it was a Sunday school curriculum we did, and it was called Free to Choose, and it was based on the life of Joseph, and it just walked through the life of Joseph, showing every time he was free to choose the attitude and the response he was going to have, and whether to trust the Lord, whether to be upset, whether to be angry and bitter, he was free to choose every single time, and the same thing is true for you and me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, that's a good prayer, a good statement to make. I would add a little bit to that. Get thee behind me, Satan, for though he slay me, yet I will trust him because I know his character and because of what Jesus has done on the cross for me. That's why I'll trust him. No matter if I can make sense out of what's happening to me or not, I will trust him because of his character and because of what his son has done for me. You know, it'd be a number of years yet before Joseph would be able to make sense out of all this. That day came. It may not come for us this side of heaven. But listen, the question's not whether something or someone did something to me that was unjust and unfair. The question is not why something bad or distressing happened to me. The question is not in light of how hard I'm trying to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him, why better things aren't happening in me, in my marriage, in my family, in my job, or whatever. I suggest to you the question is the Lord worthy of your trust? That's just the bottom line. Is He worthy of your trust? Regardless of what the circumstances look like, even if you can't make sense of it, and Joseph couldn't at this point, is he worthy of your trust? You know this verse from Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for you." He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for you. He delivered him up to endure the ultimate, the highest, the greatest of injustices for you and me so that our sins could be forgiven. So, whenever you're tempted to think God is not dealing with you justly or you can't trust him, I encourage you to go to the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus endured injustice because he really was innocent. He endured injustice so that you and I would not have to endure true justice from the hands of a holy and righteous God. When you're tempted to think God is not dealing with you justly or you feel like you can't trust him, go to the cross. Go to the cross. Don't let the enemy of God get you so focused on your situation that you lose sight of the injustice the Son endured for you. So, I just offer this prayer to you again. Get thee behind me, Satan, for though he slay me, yet will I trust him, for I know his character, and I know what his Son did for me on the cross. And that you may really need to reaffirm that when your convictions has cost you in some significant way, as it did Joseph. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the example that we are seeing with this man. And he's still a young man at this point. But I thank you for the trust he had in you. And he continued to trust you even when his desire to honor you cost him dearly. And Lord, I just pray for us because the enemy of God is still active and alive and he still attacks with lies and deceptions. And so help us to recognize that and to rebuke him in the name of the Lord and to declare our commitment to trusting in the Lord because we do know his character, because we do know all the injustice his son was willing to pay on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And therefore we know God is working for us. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Hear our praise as we sing it to you. In Christ's name, amen.